ears to your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, so this chapter here, we're going to look down at verse number 10 here today, and there's one thing that we're going to focus on out of this chapter, something that I don't know that I've ever heard a message in particular on this subject, and if I were to ask you, and I will in a moment, what this is, most of you probably don't know. Unless you were in the men's preaching class, you have an idea of what it was, because we talked about it last week. But look down at verse number 11, the Bible says, or verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so what I'm preaching here today is speak as the oracles of God. So if I were to ask you, what is the oracles of God? Would you be able to tell me what the oracles is? And the men that were in the preaching class are excluded from that question because I already told them what it was last week, but didn't go into as much detail as I am this morning. So what we're going to look at here this morning is what the oracles of God are, and there is also a difference between the oracles of God and the oracle singular in the Word of God. The New Testament uses the word oracles, and the Old Testament uses the word oracle. Now, they are related to one another, but they are not the same thing. And so we're going to look at that here today. What does it mean to speak as the oracle of God? Because if you look at that verse there, the Bible is saying in verse number 11, if you look on down, it says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so what this is showing us is that, you know, even our speech, the way that we speak, ought to bring honor and glory to God, but that can only happen if we are speaking as the oracle of God. So what does that mean here this morning? Well, let's take our Bibles and go to 2 Samuel chapter number 16. Look at verse number 23. 2 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse number 23. And I'll go ahead and tell you just ahead of time what the oracles of God are. The oracles of God, plural, is the laws of God. It's the commandments of God. It's the words of God. And so if God is telling us that, hey, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, what is he telling us? That we ought to be speaking. When we speak, it ought to be as if it came from God, right? Not because we are so wise, not because we're so built up and we're so such great people, but because we're speaking the words of God. That's why. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The way that we speak, the things that we say, it ought to be as if it were spoken by the word of God. That if we speak something, people know that it is true. If we say something, people know that it is right. If we say that something is going to come to pass, they ought to be able to say, well, yeah, what that man said is going to come to pass because he's never been wrong before. Because he speaks as the oracles of God. Why? Because he's speaking the word of God. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 16. We have a man there in this chapter that was a man that was like this that the Bible tells us about. And this man was not a perfect man by any means. He actually betrayed David and ended up, I believe, killing himself. But that's beside the point, what we're going to see in this chapter. Look at what it says in verse number 23. The Bible says, 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 23. And the Bible says right there, and the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So if you remember when Absalom, David's son, rebelled against him, tried to take over the kingdom, well, Ahithophel had been a counselor of David, and then he kind of switches sides there, and he is now a counselor to Absalom. And so David sends in a man, kind of like a spy, to confound the counsel of Ahithophel, because he knows that this man Ahithophel, his counsel was always good. And what does it tell us here about this man? It tells us that in those days was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. That if you asked counsel of Ahithophel, whatever he told you, it was right. Whatever he told you, it was true. Whatever he told you would come to pass if you did this and this is going to happen, then that is exactly what would come to pass. And so in David's kingdom, he was a trusted counselor. And then when he goes to be with Absalom, David knows that, hey, this man has the ability to destroy me. And so he sends in a man to confound the counsel of Ahithophel. And when Absalom doesn't heed Ahithophel's counsel, you know, Ahithophel then goes and puts his house in order and commits suicide. If this man, the Bible tells us his counsel was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. And so we're seeing a comparison here that with Christians, when we speak, we ought to speak as the oracles of God. But you know what? How many Christians in this world, they watch what they speak? How many Christians in this world, they just say foolish things all the time? You know, somebody comes along, you listen to somebody having a conversation, and there's always that one person that has to put their two cents in, and they think that they're wise, they think that they're smart, but they know nothing about what you're talking about, and they speak, and you know that they're a fool. You know, that's not what a Christian ought to be. You know, and as a preacher especially, if you get up behind the pulpit, when we preach the Word of God, what have I told y'all in preaching class many times? Speak only what? What you know. You know why? Because you ought to speak as the oracle of God. Because when you speak and preach the Word of God, it ought to be truth, and we ought to know that it is right and true, and it is what God has said. When we go soul winning, you know, when we go out and we take the gospel to people, don't we want to speak as the oracle of God to them? Yeah, absolutely. Because when we speak to them, we don't want to give them man's opinions. We don't want to give them just our own thoughts. We want to give them what the Bible says. We want them to be able to have confidence and faith in the Word of God because we have spoken as the oracle of God. Now, let's take our Bibles, go to 1 Kings chapter number 6 and look at verse number 5. And there are a lot of scriptures we could look at it on this, but I'm going to try to keep it to just some of the clearer scriptures. But go to 1 Kings chapter number 5. Chapter 6, I'm sorry, 1 Kings chapter number 6, and look at verse number 5. I told you that there is a difference between the oracles, plural, of God, and the oracle of God. And the Old Testament, it uses the term oracle. So what is that? New Testament, oracles, it is referring to the laws of God, the commandments of God, the Word of God. Well, what is the oracle in the Old Testament? Well, look at what the Bible has to say in 1 Kings chapter number 6, and look down at verse number 5, and the Bible says this in 1 Kings 6, verse number 5. We might have to read quite a bit of this, get what it's talking about, but look at what the Bible says, 1 Kings 6, verse number 5, and against the wall of the house he built chambers round about, against the walls of the house round about, both of the temple and of the oracle. And he made chambers round about. So first off, what do we see there about the oracle? It's a what? It's a room. You're right. What room is it? Well, we're going to see in the Bible. So it is a room in the temple of God. This is the temple that Solomon is building. So what room is that? Well, let's continue on. Look at verse number 6. The nethermost chamber was 5 cubits broad, and the middle was 6 cubits broad, and the third was 7 cubits broad. For without, in the wall of the house, he made narrowed rest round about, that the beams should not be fastened in the walls of the house. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone. made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. The door for the middle chamber was in the right side of the house, and they went up with winding stairs into the middle chamber and out of the middle into the third. So he built the house and finished it and covered the house with beams and boards of cedars. And then he built chambers against the wall, against all the house, 5 cubits high, and they rested on the house with timber of cedar. And the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the house and finished it, and he built the walls of the house within with boards of cedar, both the floor of the house and the walls of the ceiling. And he covered them on the inside with wood and covered the floor of the house with planks of fir. And he built 20 cubits on the sides of the house, both the floor and the walls with boards of cedar. He built them for it within, even for the oracle, even for the what? The most holy place. So the oracle is which room? The most holy place. Now, which room is that? You know, if you're new to the Old Testament things of the temple, the most holy place was that what's also called the holiest of all. It was the inner room where there was the Ark of the Covenant in there, and the priest would go in and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat to atone for the nation of Israel, first for himself and then for the nation of Israel. Also within this room, in Solomon's temple, there were 2 cherubims. And if I remember the measurements right, the room itself was 20 cubits tall. So it's a pretty tall room. And the cherubims that were in there were 10 cubits tall, I believe. And their wingspan, I think either direction, was 10 cubits as well. And so this is what is going on in that room. In fact, let's skip on down a little ways. Go down to verse number 31. And look what the Bible has to say there. And the Bible says, and for the entering of the oracle, he made the doors of olive tree. The lintel and the side posts were a fifth part of the wall. The 2 doors also were of olive tree. And he carved upon them carvings of cherubims and palm trees and open flowers and overlaid them with gold and spread gold upon the cherubims and upon all the palm trees. So also made he the door of the temple post of olive tree, a fourth part of the wall, and the 2 doors were of fir tree. The 2 leaves of the one door were folding, and the 2 leaves of the other door were folding. He carved thereon cherubims and palm trees and open flowers and covered them with gold fitted upon the carved work. And he built the inner court with 3 rows of huge stone and a row of cedar beams. In the 4th year was the foundation of the house of the Lord laid in the month of Ziph. So let's stop reading there. I think we got enough there to get some foundation from that. That it is showing you, you can go back and read through this, gives you all the measurements. I mean, in verse 20, I think it says the oracle in the fourth part was 20 cubits in length. It gives you the measurements there of it. So the oracle was that room that we call the holiest of all. So when the Bible tells us, we read about Ahithophel, and that if a man asked counsel of Ahithophel, it was as if they had inquired at the oracle of God. Because what they would do in the Old Testament is they would go to the oracle of God. They would go, the high priest would go in, and they would inquire of God in the holiest of all and inquire things of him and ask counsel from God and ask the word of God and ask the commandment of God. And so you see why these 2 things are connected, the oracle of God and the oracles, because the oracles is the commandments, the words of God themselves. The oracle was a place where God gave forth some of his commandments. It was a place where he gave forth some of his words. And we are to speak as if somebody had inquired at the oracle of God. Now take your Bibles, go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. Look at verse number 7. Let's just look at a few more Old Testament scriptures, give you a little bit more of a picture of it. 2 Chronicles chapter number 5, and look down at verse number 7, and the Bible says this in 2 Chronicles chapter number 5 in verse number 7, and it says, "And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place to the where? To the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim." So it's giving you pretty clear picture of what the oracle is, right? It's the room where the Ark of the Covenant was brought in into the holiest of all, the most holy there. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 13 and look at verse number 2 there. 1 Chronicles chapter number 13 and look down at verse number 2. 1 Chronicles chapter number 13 and verse number 2. And the Bible says this in 1 Chronicles 13. And verse number 2, in the Bible says right there, "And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we," notice what it says, "inquired not at it in the days of Saul." So during the days of Saul, they didn't inquire at the Ark of the Covenant. But what does that also by default tell you? That there were times that they had inquired at the Ark of the Covenant. Because when it was in the tabernacle, and later on when Solomon builds the temple, and it's there in the temple in the Holy of Holies, they would go in and inquire at the Ark of the Covenant. And so this is showing us here, just giving us more of a picture of it. Go to Judges chapter number 20 and look at verse number 18. Judges chapter number 20 and look at verse number 18. See what the Bible has to say there. Judges chapter number 20 and verse number 18. And the Bible says this in Judges 20 and verse number 18. And the Bible says here, "And the children of Israel arose and went up to where? The house of God." And what did they do? "And asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first." So we just put all the pictures of the puzzle, the pieces of the puzzle together, haven't we? That the oracle of God is in the Holy of Holies. The oracle of God is the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant was there in that place. The children of Israel would go up to the house of God to inquire of God before the Ark of the Covenant in the oracle of God. So the oracle was the place, the room, where God many times would give forth his word, where he would give forth his commandments to the children of Israel. So you see how this ties together with the New Testament? That when we talk about speaking as the oracles of God, that our words ought to have so much weight that it is as if somebody has asked counsel at the word of God. "If any man speak," the Bible says, "let him speak as the oracle of God." So, you know, us as the children of God, we need to make sure that we guard our words, that we watch the things that we say, that we make sure that our words are things that are going to edify, that are going to build up, that are going to bring grace to the hearers according to the word of God, that are going to help people to grow in the word of God, and that we don't just speak foolishly, that we don't just speak rashly. You know, does anybody here want to be that person that's known as being a fool? Listen, I have known some people in my life that whatever they said, if you pretty much did the opposite of what they said, you knew you were in the will of God. Because they were such fools. And listen, these people usually like to talk. I mean, they usually just want to hear themselves speak, and you can never get in a word because they just want to hear themselves talk all the time. And I'm not talking about somebody that's just naturally a talker. You know the difference, that there are those who are naturally a talker, and then there are those that just want to hear themselves speak. And when they speak, they sound as a fool. Hey, we need to make sure as Christians that we are not that person. That if any man speak, he speak as the oracle of God. So you know what? You need to watch the things that you say. Especially if you're on Facebook, right? Yeah. Because oftentimes people become Facebook warriors, don't they? Yeah. They get all brave and they have so much boldness because they're on Facebook. And before long, they end up saying something that they regret. Because listen, you cannot read emotions on Facebook. You cannot read emotions over the social media. So you know what? You need to be careful about that and let yourself speak as the oracle of God. Now take your Bibles, go to Acts chapter number 7, and let's just look at some of the New Testament scriptures about the oracles of God. Acts chapter number 7, and look at verse number 38. I told you before that the oracles in the New Testament is talking about the laws of God. That's pretty easy to prove to you. Look at Acts chapter number 7 and look down at verse number 38. And the Bible says this in Acts chapter number 7 and verse 38. The Bible says right there, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai." Let me ask you a question. What happened at Mount Sinai or Mount Sinai? 10 commandments were given, right? So look at what it says there. And it says, "And with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us." So then what are the oracles of God? The laws of God, the commandments of God. So we just proved that right there from the Word of God, didn't we? Go to Romans chapter number 3. And look at what the Bible has to say there in verse number 2. By the way, there are only 4 scriptures in the New Testament that mention the oracles of God. So we're looking at all 4 of them here real quick. Look at what the Bible says, Romans chapter number 3, and let's start in verse number 1. And this backs up what we just read. It says, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the what? The oracles of God." What advantage did the Jew have over the Gentile? What is the Bible saying there? What advantage did the Jew have over you over the Gentile back then? Well, because the only advantage they had, it was not based on their race, was it? Was not based on their DNA. The reason why they had advantage is because they were given the laws and the commandments of God. That's the advantage that they had. But guess what? Now we have the advantage over them, don't we? Because today, those Jews, they don't believe in Christ. They don't believe the commandments of God. They don't believe the Word of God. But we have the Word of God. Now listen, are we better than Jews? No, absolutely not. Listen, we want them to be saved, don't we? And listen, the only advantage that we have over them is that we have the Word of God. That's it. And just the same way back then, the advantage that they had over the Gentiles is that to them were committed the oracles of God. But it was not based on their race. It is not based on our race, because in Christ, the Bible says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither rich nor poor. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. So you see, the only advantage that we have over anybody else in the world is that we have the Word of God. That's it. The advantage that your children have is that they can come to a church where they hear the Word of God. That they have a King James Bible. That they have a Bible that they can grow up reading. They can hear mommy and daddy reading the Word of God. That is the advantage that your children have. But you know what? There's a lesson here in the Word of God. Don't waste that like the Jews did. Right. You see, the Jews cast it aside, didn't they? The Jews transgressed the laws of God by their traditions and by the traditions of men, and they made void the laws and the commandments of God. Hey, don't do the same thing in your life. Learn from what the Jews did. Because you know what? You're no better than they are. They're no better than you are. The only advantage you have is that you have the commandments of God. Take your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter number 5, and look at verse number 12. Hebrews chapter number 5, and look at verse number 12 and see what the Bible has to say there. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 12. And the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 12. And the Bible says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in what? The word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So in every single place that we have read here this morning in the New Testament, when it mentions the oracles of God, what is it talking about? It's talking about the Word of God. In the Old Testament, what was it talking about? The place where the Word of God was given, where men would inquire of God. And so the New Testament tells us, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So let's talk about that this morning. What does it mean to speak as the oracles of God? Well, take your Bibles, go ahead and go. Let me see where I want you to go. I got to flip in my notes here. Go to Psalms chapter number 12 and look at verse number 6. Psalms chapter number 12 and verse number 6. Let's see some characteristics of the word itself. Because if we are to speak as the Word, then you know what? We need to take these things on in our lives, don't we? Yes. Look at what the Bible says. Psalms chapter number 12 and look at verse number 6 when you get there. Psalms chapter number 12 and verse number 6. And the Bible says this in Psalms chapter number 12, verse number 6. The words of the Lord are what? Pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So the words of the Lord are pure words. So what kind of words ought we to use? Pure words. You see, there's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference between pure words and impure words. There's a difference between the words of God and the words of the world. And you know what? I think there are Christians, and especially new Christians, that need to learn this concept. That there are words that the world uses that we ought not to use. That we ought to use the words of God. You know, that's why I'm not going to use the B word, for example. Not going to use the F word. Not going to use those words. Why? Because they're not pure words that are found in the Word of God. Now listen, the words of God, all of them are pure. So you know what words I will use? And listen, there's something in the old IFB when we grew up, some of the words that are in the Bible were words that we were not allowed to say growing up, right? I mean, we couldn't use what words? We couldn't use the word ass or damn or hell. Listen, those are pure words. They're found in the Word of God. But listen, here's the thing though. When it comes to those words, I'm not just going to throw them around flippantly, right? If I use the word ass, what am I using that to speak of? Like the Bible spoke of, to speak about a donkey, right? If I use the word damn, if I use the word hell, I'm not going to use it how the world uses it, just as a cuss word or just in a jovial manner where they're joking around and kidding around. I'm going to use it in the manner that God uses it in His Word, because it is a word that is found in the Bible to express some strong meaning, right? So when I use the word damn, I'm not just going to use it just because something went wrong and I just throw that word out. That's not how I'm going to speak. How am I going to speak? I'm going to speak how God speaks in His Word. That if I use the word damn, I'm talking about somebody actually being damned to hell. Right? I'm talking about somebody who's facing damnation, who's facing hellfire. We need to preserve what these words mean, but there's a lot of Christians out there that just throw these words around flippantly. I don't believe you ought to do that. You ought to speak as the oracle of God. You ought to speak as the oracles of God. And these words, yeah, listen, I won't get on to you for using those words because they're pure words in the Bible. But you know what? Use them in the right context. Use them how God gave them. Use them how the Lord used them. And don't just throw them around flippantly. We ought to preserve the context and the strong meaning of what those words mean. Because that is what is found in the Word of God. And we need to use pure words. Not the words of the world, but the words of God. You know, somebody ought to know if they were going to come to you and speak to you and ask counsel of you, they ought to know that if they come talk to you, they're going to get the Word of God. Yes, right. They come ask counsel of you, they're going to get the Word of God. You know, if I ever have somebody that comes ask counsel of me and I open up my Bible and they tell me they don't want to hear that, I'm going to tell them to leave my office. Because you know what? I'm a preacher. And if you're going to ask counsel of me, I'm not going to counsel you according to my own wisdom. I'm going to counsel you according to the Word of God. And if you're not interested in the words of God and what God says about it, then we have nothing to talk about. We ought to speak as the oracles of God. Take your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter number 1, and look at verse number 6. Proverbs chapter number 1, and look at verse number 6, and see what the Bible has to say there. Proverbs chapter number 1. And look down at verse number 6 and see what the Bible has to say there. Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 6. And the Bible says right there, the Bible says in verse number 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What is the purpose of the book of Proverbs being given? To give wisdom, to give knowledge, to give understanding. And so, you know, if we're going to speak as the oracles of God, our words ought to do the same. Our words ought to give wisdom. Our words ought to give knowledge. Our words ought to give understanding to those that hear. And so, you know what? If there is something that's being talked about and you have no knowledge of the subject, just be quiet and listen. Gain some understanding, gain some knowledge. Don't just throw in your 2 cents because you have to speak. Hey, you have 2 ears to hear with and you have 1 mouth, right? So what does that tell you? You ought to listen twice as much as you speak. You see, a wise man will listen, will be quiet, will withhold himself from speaking, and will speak the words of wisdom. He'll speak the words of understanding. And if we're going to speak as the oracles of God, then we need to seek out some wisdom. We need to seek out some understanding. If we're going to be able to depart understanding to others, then we have to have some understanding, don't we? So you know what that tells me about the Christian? That the Christian ought to seek to not be a shallow person. That the Christian ought to be a person that's well-learned. That has studied the Word of God, that has learned some things in this life, that's taken the time to learn how to do some things, and taken the time to learn and gain as much knowledge as he can, and he should continue to do so throughout his life. Don't ever get to that point where you just stop and you think that you're too old to continue to learn. You know what? Continue learning. Continue growing. Continue becoming better because that's what God requires of us. If you're going to depart wisdom and understanding to others, then continue to grow in the Word of God. If you're going to speak as the oracle of God, you've got to have some wisdom. You've got to have some understanding, but you're only going to get that through studying the Bible. You're only going to get that through researching and studying out some things. And listen, go read a book. I mean, listen, learn about this world. Learn about things of this world. And I'm not talking about worldly wisdom, but I'm talking about just gain some wisdom. Gain some knowledge. Gain some understanding. Because you know what? That's only going to help you, isn't it? Because if you know about a multitude of things, hey, if you're out sowing in, you can talk to a lot of people, can't you? But if all you know is guns, does every person out there like guns? No, so your illustration of guns doesn't work for every single person, does it? No, works for a lot of people, works for me. I like guns, I understand guns, but you know what? I have to have some other wisdom and other understanding of things in this world so that I can relate to others. You see, that's what the Bible means when the Apostle Paul said that he's all things to all people. You see, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about going down and becoming like them and living in their sin and getting tattoos because they have tattoos, or drinking alcohol because they drink alcohol, or going to the barroom because they go to the barroom. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about gaining some wisdom, some understanding, some knowledge so that you can simply relate to people, because then when you're more personable to people, then they will be more likely to listen to you, right? And you know what? You need to have some understanding and some knowledge to do so. And you need to seek it out and find it and study it out in order to have that understanding. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and look at verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and look at verse number 3. See what the Bible has to say there? 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And verse number 3, and see what the Bible has to say there. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 3, and the Bible says this: if any man teach otherwise and consent not to what? Wholesome words, even the words of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, and notice what the Bible says, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what we ought to give ourselves to? You know what we ought to submit ourselves to? Is wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrines that are found in the Word of God. We ought to learn these things and study these things, and don't be one of these that knows nothing and that just dotes about all the strifes, the strifes there, the railings, the evil surmisings. We ought not to be doting about those things. We ought to have some true knowledge, and where does that come from? All knowledge comes from the Father of lights, the Bible says. All knowledge comes from God, and we need to be seeking after it if we're going to speak as the oracle of God. You're going to be a preacher one day, you want to be a preacher, you want to be a pastor? Well, then it is essential that you gain some knowledge, right? It's essential that you be able to depart knowledge and understanding in every single sermon. Not just in one sermon. Listen, don't just have one area of expertise. You need to be an expert in all instruments of war. You need to be an expert in all of the Bible. A preacher is not to be a novice, the Bible says, but he is supposed to be somebody that has some wisdom and some knowledge. But how many preachers out there, and especially evangelists, right? Evangelists many times will be an expert in one area of the Bible. So they're an expert over creation, or they're an expert over the King James Bible, or they're an expert over the things of the temple and the tabernacle. They're an expert in these certain areas. And so when they go from church to church to church to church, all they ever teach and preach on is that one thing. Listen, I will not ordain that kind of a preacher. The kind of a preacher I'm going to ordain is a preacher that's an expert in all things of the Word of God. That's an expert in the whole thing, that knows how to use the entire Word of God, because you need the ability to be able to convince the gainsayers, the Bible says. And you can only do that if you speak as the oracle of God. And not just in one area, but in all areas. Know the Word of God, learn the Word of God, study it, memorize it, and speak as the oracle of God. Don't say things that you don't know are true. No, only say that which you know is true and right. Look back at what the Bible has to say. In fact, go ahead and take your Bibles and go ahead and go to Proverbs chapter number 15. Look at what the Bible says there. Proverbs chapter number 15. And look down at verse number 4, Proverbs chapter number 15 and verse number 4. And the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter number 15 And verse number 4, the Bible says right there, a wholesome tongue is a what? Tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. You know, if you have a wholesome tongue, your tongue is a tree of life. Listen, the easiest application of that is sowing, isn't it? Yeah. That we can see that very clearly. Going out, giving people the word of God, you have become a tree of life unto them. You're giving them the life of God that is found in the word of God. You're giving them Jesus Christ, who is eternal life according to the Bible. Your tongue has become a tree of life. But you know what? Don't just let it be a tree of life in one area. Don't let it just be a tree of life in sowing in and not in the rest of your life. You know, everything that you say ought to be a tree of life. It ought to be words that edify the hearers and minister grace unto the hearers. It ought to be words that build up and edify the people of God. But you know what? If all you're focused on is just sowing in, well, that's the only area you're going to be in, isn't it? You know what? You need more than that, even if you're not going to be a preacher. Because you know what? Raising your child, don't you want to depart wisdom and understanding to your child? Listen, sowing is important. We put a lot of emphasis on it here. We do a whole lot of sowing in. That is one of the first things we get you out doing is going sowing and leading people to the Lord. But don't stop there. Listen, continue to become a better sower, but then learn and grow in the rest of the Word of God. Because even if you're not a preacher, you might have children that you are raising. And you need to depart to them some wisdom and some understanding so that when they grow up, they can be a good Christian as well. But you know what? You need to be somebody that is well-versed in the Word of God, even if you're not a preacher. Because you know what? Especially for the men in your homes, you are over your home, and it is your job to teach your wife. Did you know that? That's why the Bible actually says that if women have questions, they should be silent and should ask their husbands at home. That if you have a husband, that's before you come ask me a question, you need to ask your husband a question. You need to be silent. You need to ask him a question and see if he can answer it. And if he can't answer it, he can come ask me himself. And he can get that understanding. And so husbands need to have the wisdom to lead, to guide, and to teach their homes. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy that thou shalt teach. When thou walkest in the way, when thou risest up, when thou liest down, that you are to talk about the words of God. And listen, you need to be able to depart some understanding of those words to your family, to your wife, to your children. You need to speak as the oracle of God to your family. Look back at what the Bible has to say in Proverbs 22 and look at verse number 21. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 21. And the Bible says right there, Proverbs 22, verse number 21, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of what? Of truth. That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. You know how we need to speak as the oracle of God? We need to speak words of truth. We need to speak words that are right, that are true. You know, if we give our word ought to be our bond. Amen. If we tell somebody that we are going to do something, we should do it to the best of our ability. I understand sometimes things happen that are beyond your control, but if it is at all within your control, if you've told somebody that you're going to do it, you need to do it. Because you need to be a person, a Christian, that people know that if you say you're going to do something, it's going to get done. That people can put some trust in you because you speak the words of truth and you seek to not live a life of just lying to everybody. But in this world, don't we have a world that they just lie all the time? I mean, every single Saturday we get lied to, right? Every single Sunday when we go sowing and we get lied to, we talk to people and they tell us, yeah, I'm coming to church. And they never show up. They lied, right? I mean, they told you they were going to come. They told you, yeah, you'll see my face at church. I've had them tell me, yeah, this was a blessing from God. I was just praying for this, and here you come, and you gave me this, and I'm going to be at church tomorrow. You'll see my face for sure at church. And then they don't come. You know, that's not how Christians need to be. Christians need to be people that you can depend on, that speak true words, that when you say something, people know it's right. When you say something, people know it's true. When you say you're going to do something, people know that it is going to get done because you have spoken as the word of the Lord. Because when God speaks something, when God says he's going to do something, doesn't he do it? Doesn't he fulfill it? Doesn't he come through on it? He sure does. When God tells you something in his word, you can mark it down, you can write it down, that it is truth, that it will come to pass, that it will happen, and this is the way that Christians need to speak. We need to seek to speak in the same way, to speak as the oracles of God, to speak true words. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." You know what? We need to speak as the word of God. By the way, the Bible says, thy word is truth. You know, our word needs to be truth. We need to be so infused with the word of God in our hearts and in our minds and in our bodies that when we speak the words of God. We speak the wisdom of God and the understanding of God that when we say something, it is true and it's going to happen because it's as if they had inquired at the oracle of God. You see, that's what we need to be in our lives. Take your Bibles, go to Jeremiah. Go there first. Jeremiah chapter number 23. You look at what the Bible says in verse number 28. Jeremiah chapter number 23. Look down at verse number 28 and see what the Bible has to say there. Jeremiah chapter number 23. And look down at verse number 28. And the Bible says this in Jeremiah chapter number 23. And verse number 28. The Bible says this right there. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word. What's it say? Faithfully. You know what we need to be if we're going to speak as the oracle of God? We need to be faithful to speaking the word of God. In season, out of season. I mean, when it's popular, when it's not popular, we are faithful to preach the word of God. Hey, in Jeremiah's day, it wasn't popular for him to preach the word of God, was it? I mean, his own familiars, his family turned against him. They called him a traitor. They threw him down into the pit. He sunk in the mire. I mean, Jeremiah went through a lot, and there was a time where he got down, he got depressed, and he said that he would no longer speak the word of God. But when he got to that point, he was so filled with the word of God that he said this, that the word of God was in my bones burning as a fire that I could not say. You know how you're going to faithfully preach the word of God in season and out of season when it's popular and when it's not popular and when you're going through trials like Jeremiah and when you get to that point where you just want to quit, where you just want to stop, where you just say to yourself, what am I doing? I'm never going to do this again. I'm never going to speak this again. I'm just going to stop because that's easier. That's when the word of God, if you put it within you, will burn within your bones that you cannot stay, that you cannot stop. That is necessary to speaking the word of God faithfully. But you know what? In order to do that, you need to know the word of God. You need to get into it. You need to read it. You need to study it. You need to memorize it. You need to delight in the word of God. You need to meditate upon it. Listen, it's great to read a lot of scripture, and I emphasize that, and I tell you that's a good thing for you to do, but don't just read a lot of scripture and then not meditate on it. Read it and meditate. Understand what's being spoken, what's being given in the Word of God. Ask yourselves questions. What's going on? What is taking place here? I mean, think about these things. Listen, when I read through the Word of God, you know, I have all kinds of questions that when I read the Bible, I have questions about things. You know what I do? I log that question away in my brain, And as I read through the Bible, reading through my daily Bible reading, I am constantly searching for an answer to that question as I read through it. I'm meditating upon it. And you know what? Oftentimes and all the time, God gives me answers to that just in my daily Bible reading. Because you know what? I'm not just reading just for the sake of reading. I'm reading to learn. I'm reading to grow. I'm putting the Word of God within my heart and studying it and meditating upon it. That meditation is necessary in your life, that you would meditate on the Word of God so that you can digest it. You know, if you take a chunk of meat and you just put it in your mouth and you swallow it, is your body going to digest it that well? No, what do you got to do before you do that? You got to chew it up before you can swallow it so your body can digest it. You know what? The same way is true when it comes to studying and reading the Word of God. In order for you to digest it, chew it up. Meditate upon it. That is necessary. Don't just take it and swallow the whole thing. Hey, that meat's good. That meat is great. But that's not going to do you a whole lot of good, is it? It might actually harm your body if you eat in that way. Hey, meditate upon it. Chew it up so that you can have the words of God to speak them faithfully. Take your Bibles, go to Psalms chapter number 27. Look at verse number 4. Psalms chapter number 27 and verse number 4. See what the Bible has to say there. Psalms chapter number 27 and verse number 4. And the Bible says this in Psalms chapter number 27. And verse number 4, the Bible says this right there. Psalms 27, verse number 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I do what? Seek after, that I may dwell, where? In the house of the Lord. Interesting, what was in the house of the Lord? The oracle of God, right? Where he would inquire of God. Look at what it says there. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to do what? And to inquire in his temple. You know what he said he was going to do so that he could be there? So that he could dwell there? So that he could inquire of the Lord? He said he was going to seek after it. But you know, how many Christians in this world have asked God for things? They ask God for things all the time, but then they don't seek after it. Hey, if you seek, ye shall find. You knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You know, if you want the will of God in your life, don't just ask God for it, seek after it. And you know how you seek after it? By doing that which you already know is right and true and good. You do what God's already shown you is right, and you seek after it. And if you'll seek after the Lord, and seek after his wisdom, and seek after his understanding, then you can inquire of the Lord, and the Lord will answer you. Then the Lord will give you that understanding. Then he'll give you that wisdom. Then he'll give you that understanding. But you know what you have to do first? You have to seek after it. And in order to speak as the oracle of God, this is necessary. That you seek after it. The Bible tells us that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. You want to be rewarded by God? Then seek after him. You want to speak as the oracle of God and have power and boldness when you speak and preach the word of God? Then speak as the oracle of God. But in order to do that, there's something you have to do first. You must seek after it. You must search it out. You must find it. You've got to have it first in order to speak it. And you know, that's what God requires of us as Christians, that we would speak as the oracle of God. Look at Luke chapter number 6 and look at verse number 45. If you don't get there, I'll read it to you. I'm going to read it pretty quickly. Luke 6, 45, the Bible says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaketh. So if the abundance of your heart is filled with the word of God, what are you going to speak? The abundance of your heart is filled with the oracles of God, then you'll speak as the oracles of God. Right? So you know what you need? You need an overabundance of the word of God. Not just a little bit of it. You need an abundance of it. It means you need a lot of it. But you know what? If you're just filling yourself with the TV shows and not with the Word of God, what are you going to speak? TV shows, if you're filling yourself with the gun magazines or the car magazines or whatever it is, what are you probably going to speak about? That, right? We know that a lot of Christians in this world, they completely fill themselves up with the things of the world and with the sports especially, because all they ever want to talk about is what? Sports. Listen, I couldn't even name to you two players on the Saints team. I don't have a clue. I can only name probably the most famous ones just because you hear them from time to time, you know, through the news and such. But you know what? There are Christians out there. They know every single player. They got them all down. They know which one is better. They know why their team ought to trade this player for that player. And they've got their draft and they've got their, what's that stupid game they have that they'll do during football season? Fantasy football, right? They got their fantasy football where they're picking their team and picking all these players. And they know everything about which player they ought to have. And all they ever talk about is that stupid football game. A bunch of grown men wearing tights, throwing around a pigskin, running around the field. And listen, I loved playing football when I was in high school. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For some men, it's time to grow up and put some things to the side and learn how to become a man and fill yourself up with the things of God. Listen, don't sit there just filling yourself with the things of the world. You know, it's pretty easy as a pastor. I can tell who reads their Bible and doesn't. I can tell, for the most part, who is right with God and who is not. You know why? Not because I'm so great. It's actually pretty easy. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And that which you're putting in is what you're going to speak about. You know, if you are actually reading your Bible, studying it, and meditating upon it, you'll probably have some questions, don't you think? There might be some times that you ask the pastor some questions, and why is that? Because you're reading and studying and searching it out. Hey, if you want to speak as the oracle of God, then seek after the wisdom of God. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 10. And look at verse number 13, 1 Chronicles chapter number 10. And look at verse number 13, see what the Bible has to say there. 1 Chronicles chapter number 10 and verse number 13, see what the Word of God has to say. 1 Chronicles chapter number 10 and verse number 13. And let's get over there and see what the Bible has to say over there. If I can get my fingers working, I'll join you right there. 1 Chronicles chapter number 10 and verse number 13. The Bible says this right there, 1 Chronicles chapter number 10, verse 13. And it says, so Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the what? Word of the Lord, which he kept not. And also for asking counsel, notice this, of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. You know, Saul used to be a man that was a prophet of God, that when he inquired of the Lord answered him. Yeah. That when he sought after God, God answered him. God blessed him in his life. But you see, he disobeyed God. He did not keep the word of God. He did not keep that which he knew was right. And before long, he's not only not inquiring of the Lord, now he's inquiring of a witch. Now he's inquiring of this wicked person instead of inquiring after God. And you know what? This is the route that many Christians have gone in this world, right? Yeah. Because instead of inquiring after God and after the things of the Word and doing that which they know is right in the Word of God, they go inquire counsel of the world. They go inquire after the counselors of this world with all their worldly wisdom and go after those things instead of asking God. And listen, the results are going to be the same. That if you inquire after the world instead of inquiring after God, it's going to bring forth some heartache. It's going to bring forth some trouble. You see, Saul used to be a great man of God, but he got away from God, didn't he? I mean, think about this too. This is a pretty scary story when you think about it. Because God removed his spirit from Saul. And God sent an evil spirit from the Lord to trouble Saul. God sent an evil spirit to Saul just to simply cause Saul to continue to get worse and worse and more depressed and to continue to make bad decisions, which eventually led to his death, where he committed suicide. Why? All because he did not heed the word of the Lord. Because he inquired not at God, God removed his spirit from him and sent an evil spirit to trouble Saul. You know, that is exactly what I think is happening in a lot of IFB churches. That they have heard the word of God. They've been confronted with the word of God. They've been challenged on what the Bible says. They know what the Bible says. And yet they continue down the path of not listening to what God's word says. And it's no wonder that God removes his spirit from them. God takes that spirit away and he sends another spirit to trouble them. And we see these old IFB preachers that are often just sticking their foot in their mouth and saying stupid things. Saying foolish things. Why? Because they're not inquiring of the word of God. Because if they were filled with the word of God, if they had an abundance of the word of God, then the heart would speak from that abundance, right? The mouth would speak from that abundance, and they would speak as the oracle of God. But you see, today we don't have a lot of preachers like that. Now today we've got a lot of preachers that they're like Saul. That they have sought after the wisdom of the world and asking counsel of witches instead of going after the word of God. You say, how are they asking counsel of witches? Well, how many times you go into a church and you hear a Jewish fable? Yeah. How many times you go into a church and they're talking about this Jewish nonsense and Jewish fables, which God has told us to avoid? And listen, that stuff comes from witches. That stuff comes from witchcraft. It comes from the Talmud. It comes from the Kabbalah, which is all about witchcraft and wizardry and all of these kinds of nonsense. And then preachers get up and they get all into numerology. They get all into soothsaying. They get all into all these other things that the Bible has condemned in the Word of God, looking for signs in the stars. Hey, that's condemned by the Bible. I mean, we're not supposed to do that according to the Word of God. And listen, it's amazing for people that think that there's no more signs that have to happen, that Christ could come at any time. They're always looking for some sign. They're always looking for this star or the blood moon or that blood moon or this happening or that happening. All these signs that they're looking for instead of looking at the signs that are in the Bible. Amen. That the Bible tells us, hey, there's a couple of things that have to happen. That you'll see the son of perdition before our gathering together, before the coming of the Lord, that we will see the son of perdition, the Antichrist, come and be revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 tells us that is going to happen. The sun shall be turned to darkness. The moon will be turned to blood, the Bible says. These are the things the Bible has told us will happen before the rapture, but they're not looking at this, they're looking at that. They're looking at everything else out there in the world, and they're not speaking as the oracles of God, and their people are confused on the book of Revelation. You go into the average Baptist church, and the average person sitting in the pews doesn't know anything about Revelation. Doesn't know anything about end times prophecy. They know it's pre-trib, but that's about all they know, according to them. They don't know anything else. Why? Because their preachers have not spoken as the oracles of God. And you know, one of the problems is that preachers of old time, much of what they said was right, right? Yeah, they were wrong on some things, but there are a lot of things they were right on. But you know, that which they were right on, they didn't use a lot of scripture. They didn't speak as the oracle of God because they'd use one verse and then the rest of the service is all their opinion and just them speaking. You know what? If you're going to speak as the oracle of God, then use the oracles of God. Use the word of God. Show it to your people. Teach it to your people. Give them that understanding that's found in the word of God and speak as the oracle of God because the people have seen it from the oracles themselves. You know why nobody as of yet has been able to disprove anything I ever preach or say from the Word of God? Because I make sure I don't say anything I don't know. And what I say, I make sure I back up with this book right here. I make sure you see it right there in the Word of God for yourself so that you know what Pastor Major speaks is as if he's speaking as the oracle of God. Because I don't want it to be my opinion. I want it to be the Bible. I want it to be the Word of God and what God says about these things. Let's finish this here this morning. Look on down at 1 Kings chapter number 22. And look at what the Bible has to say there. 1 Kings chapter number 22. One more story in the Old Testament and then we'll be done. 1 Kings chapter number 22, and look at verse number 6. 1 Kings chapter number 22, and look down at verse number 6, see what the Bible has to say there. 1 Kings chapter number 22, and verse number 6. And the Bible says this in 1 Kings chapter 22, and verse number 6. Bible says right there, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle? Or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? You see, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. The king of Israel has all these prophets of Baal. The king of Israel has all the prophets of the devil that are there. Jehoshaphat wants a true man of God because he understands that if you have a true man of God, you can inquire of the Lord through that man of God. Right? Look at what else the Bible says here. Bible says in verse number 7, and Jehoshaphat said, or verse 8, look at there, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I do what? Hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Now we'll shorten up the story. They call Micaiah, and Micaiah comes and he prophesies. And what does he prophesy? Something that's not good for the king of Israel. The king of Israel knew that what he was going to say would not be good for him, even though it was the truth. And you know what? He hated Micaiah for it. You know what? If you hate, the Bible tells us that if you hate your brother, then you are blinded, that you know not whither you go. Why? Because that has blinded your eyes. Because you have hated your brother. And you know, there are a lot of Christians out there that they hate true men of God that get up and preach the Word of God because they hate what they say because it does not speak good of them. Because it does not speak well of them. How many times have people gotten upset in church? And listen, even in the old IFB, when a preacher got up and spoke the truth of the Word of God and spoke what the Bible says, and people get upset and people get mad, and they get mad at the preacher and they hate the preacher because the preacher said it. But listen, it's not the preacher saying it, it's the Word of God. It's the Bible. And you need to recognize if you get mad at the man of God, a true man of God, you're actually getting mad at God. You're actually becoming an enemy of God. And you know what? We need to be such people of God, such preachers of the Word of God, that when we speak as the oracle of God, that people will recognize that when they hate the preacher, when they hate what the preacher is speaking, it's not the preacher they hate, it's the Word of God. It's God Himself that they hate. And this is where a lot of Christians have gone today. I mean, a lot of Christians today, you speak up against tattoos and they hate you. You speak against that. It's become popular in this society. People love their tattoos. They want to mark their bodies all up. And you speak against it, and people call you judgmental. And they only know two verses of the Bible. Or two words of the Bible. Those are the only words they can say is judge not. That's all they know. They don't know the rest of the Bible. They don't know that the Bible actually teaches you to judge. They don't know that the Bible teaches you how to rightly judge. They don't know anything about that. They just take the two words and take them completely out of context. Why? Because you spoke the truth of the Word of God. You speak against sodomy in this world. Many times people get mad at you. Even Christians in this world today get mad at you. You see, they've become just like Lot. I mean, think about it. Lot, when he was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's sitting there, and the people come, they come past his house about, they want to take the two angels, and they want to know those angels, they want to abuse those angels, and Lot goes out to them. What does he tell them? Brethren? Think about it. Called a bunch of Sodomites brethren. That's what he said. I mean, think about the place that that man had gotten to. I mean, this man was a saved man. The Bible tells us he was saved. Tells us that he vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Hey, his soul was righteous, right? He was saved. He was a man that we will see in heaven, but he had gotten to the point where he's calling a Sodomite his brother. I mean, think about this. That Sodomite's not your brother. That Sodomite's going to hell. They have rejected God. The Bible tells us that God rained fire and brimstone upon them and that this was eternal. It was eternal judgment. In fact, let's look at it so I don't misquote it. Go to Jude chapter number 1. Look at what the Bible says there in Jude, just so I don't misquote it. Look at what the Bible says there, Jude chapter number 1. And look down at what the Bible has to say there, Jude chapter number 1. And look down at verse number 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And it says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Now, by the way, the Bible also tells us in 2 Peter, saying basically the same thing, that they are set forth as an example to all those who should after live ungodly. Yeah. That the fact that they're suffering eternal fire is an example to all those who afterward live in the same way. But you know what? Today, when you speak against the Sodomites, you know, there are Christians out there that will hate you for that. There are Christians out there that will separate from you for that. Yeah. And isn't it amazing? They won't separate from the Sodomite, but they'll separate from their brother in Christ. I mean, think about how wicked this world has become that Christians are now calling the Sodomite brethren. And you know what the next step is? The next thing they'll be calling brethren is the pedophile. That's the next thing that's coming. The one who commits bestiality, oh, that's your brother. The one who's the pedophile, oh, that's your brother. That's where the world is going. I mean, they're implacable, the Bible says. They won't stop there. They're going to continue on down this path. But you know what? You speak against it, and they hate you, don't you? Why? Because you have spoken as the oracle of God. And when you speak as the oracle of God, if they have hated me, will they not hate you? The servant is not above his master. Hey, speak the word of God and do it faithfully and speak as the oracle of God. Let's end in a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us here in your word this morning. I ask that you'd help us to take these things, search them out, study them out, Father. And in Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. We're dismissed this morning.